Speechware, Document 27. The Federal Government and the Farmer. From the message of the President Reed at the opening of the second session of the 59th Congress, December 3, 1906. The only other persons whose welfare is as vital to the welfare of the whole country as is the welfare of the wage workers are the tillers of the soil, the farmers. It is a mere truism to say that no growth of great cities, no growth of wealth, no industrial development can atone for any falling off in the character and standing of the farming population. During the last few decades this fact has been recognized with ever-increasing clearness. There is no longer any failure to realize that farming, at least in certain branches, must become a technical and scientific profession. This means that there must be open to farmers the chance for technical and scientific training, not theoretical merely but of the most severely practical type. The farmer represents a peculiarly high type of American citizenship, and he must have the same chance to rise and develop as other American citizens have. Moreover, it is exactly as true of the farmer as it is of the businessman and the wage worker, that the ultimate success of the nation of which he forms a part must be founded not alone in material prosperity but upon high moral, mental, and physical development. This education of the farmer, self-education by preference, but also education from the outside, as with all other men, is peculiarly necessary here in the United States, where the frontier conditions even in the newest states have now nearly vanished, where there must be a substitution of a more intensive system of cultivation for the old wasteful farm management, and where there must be better business organization among the farmers themselves. Several factors must cooperate in the improvement of the farmer's condition. He must have the chance to be educated in the widest possible sense, in the sense which keeps ever in view the intimate relationship between the theory of education and the facts of life. In all education we should widen our aims. It is a good thing to produce a certain number of trained scholars and students, but the education superintended by the state must seek rather to produce 100 good citizens than merely one scholar, and it must be turned now and then from the class book to the study of the great book of nature itself. This is especially true of the farmer, as has been pointed out again and again by all observers most competent to pass practical judgment in the problems of our country life. All students now realize that education must seek to train the executive powers of young people and to confer more real significance upon the phrase dignity of labor, and to prepare the pupils so that in addition to each developing in the highest degree his individual capacity for work, they may together help create a right public opinion and show in many ways social and cooperative spirit. Organization has become necessary in the business world, and it has accomplished much for good in the world of labor. It is no less necessary for farmers. Such a movement as the Grange movement is good in itself and is capable of a well-nigh infinite further extension for good so long as it is kept to its own legitimate business. The benefits to be derived by the Association of Farmers for Mutual Advantage are partly economic and partly sociological. Moreover, while in the long run voluntary effort will prove more efficacious than government assistance, while the farmers must primarily do most for themselves, yet the government can also do much. The Department of Agriculture has broken new ground in many directions, and year by year it finds how it can improve its methods and develop fresh usefulness. Its constant effort is to give the governmental assistance in the most effective way, that is, through associations of farmers rather than to or through individual farmers. It is also striving to coordinate its work with the agricultural departments of the several states, and so far as its own work is educational, to coordinate it with the work of other educational authorities. Agricultural education is necessarily based upon general education, but our agricultural educational institutions are wisely specializing themselves, making their courses relate to the actual teaching of the agricultural and kindred sciences to young country people or young city people who wish to live in the country. Great progress has already been made among farmers by the creation of farmers' institutes, of dairy associations, of breeders' associations, horticultural associations, and the like. A striking example of how the government and the farmers can cooperate is shown in connection with the menace offered to the cotton growers of the southern states by the advance of the bull weevil. The department is doing all it can to organize the farmers in the threatened districts, just as it has been doing all it can to organize them in aid of its work to eradicate the cattle fever tick in the south. The department can and will cooperate with all such associations, and it must have their help, if its own work is to be done in the most efficient style. Much is now being done for the states of the Rocky Mountains and Great Plains through the development of the national policy of irrigation and forest preservation. No government policy for the betterment of our internal conditions has been more fruitful of good than this. The forests of the White Mountains and southern Appalachian regions should also be preserved, and they cannot be, unless the people of the states in which they lie, through their representatives in the Congress, secure vigorous action by the national government.